you hear what I told you? Like, are you hearing me? This is horrible. It is very difficult for you to block out those types of thoughts when you do not get adequate sleep. It's true that the clinical significance is the level of suffering rather than the content itself.
Am I a bad mom if?
Should they know how to do this?
Should I know how to do this?
Why does it always seem to come so easy to everybody else?
Well, hello and welcome to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kaylin Galloway, and I'm here to help you navigate the roller coaster ride of motherhood and to help conquer the mental load of postpartum. My goal is to help you stop panic Googling, finding judgy Facebook groups, and to start to become the mother you always dreamed you could be. In this podcast, I aim to adopt the naturopathic principle of docere, which means to teach. None of this information should be considered medical advice. As always, before you make any changes to your healthcare regimen, always consult your personal doctor.
Well, welcome back to another episode on the New Mom Naturopath Podcast, and today we're going to talk about something pretty intense, actually. I like to make things joking, and my intro talks about how there might actually be times where you crack up during this episode, and I love to make you laugh, I love to make you smile, but today might be a little more intense than you're used to, so I want to give that warning. It's probably not going to be intended for child audiences, and it may in some ways be triggering, so I just want to get that out as a warning before I start to go and dive deep into this topic. Today we're going to be diving into intrusive thoughts and what they are and why they happen in postpartum and what you can really do about them. This topic is probably not going to be for child audiences, so make sure that you are listening with headphones if you're around little ones, or and passing on this episode if you're someone that is triggered by topics such as intrusive thoughts. So I'm going to start off with a little story for you. A woman enters the kitchen warily. She's got a 3-week-old in her arm. The bundle's asleep, but the woman knows that it's probably not going to last. She creeps over the threshold, the linoleum cold under her bare feet. She'll be fast. The cup of water's right there. She'll just creep in, grab it before anything happens. But there are so many weapons here. The blender. The baby would fit in it. Just squish him in. Push him down the head. And he'll just be the right size. Press on and no! Oh my god. Grab the water. The water is next to the sink, which is next to the knives. His neck is thin, so delicate. The knife would go right through him. His skin, like slicing a nectarine. No, no. She grabs the water, dashes out, tripping and stabbing her toe. She cries. The baby stirs, but does not wake. "Did you hear what I just told you?" she said, telling me. She'd reach through the phone if she could, shake me to make me understand. I said I wanted to put my baby in the blender. This is a story from an article called, let me double check on the title here. It is called Blenders, Hammers, and Knives. And postpartum is a very, like, these intrusive thoughts can get very violent, as I gave that warning beforehand, before saying any of these things. A lot of times, your body is in this really fogged state, and it's a lot of pressure on you. There's a lot of pressure from society. There's a lot of pressure from yourself, feeling like you need to be this the best mom ever, and you're not getting any sleep. Or if you're getting sleep, it's in very chunked times where you're not getting a full sleep cycle, or you're maybe getting 2 full sleep cycles if you're lucky. So it is a very challenging time. And I want to be very clear about the pattern of this story, is that the story happens because she's stressed out and she wants to do some form of self-care for herself. She wants to go do something for herself and is having to manage a child in the middle of that. A child that's asleep. A child that is new to her. A child she doesn't actually know all that well. He's 3 weeks old. And she's had to go from being someone only really responsible for herself and maybe a little bit responsible for her partner, husband, but in no way, shape, or form is she ready for... She's not ready for this. There's no way she's ready for this. No one is. And so that is the key thing too, is like this story shows the sense of overwhelm. You know, I just want to grab a cup of water, like a vital thing. Like, I just want water. You need water to survive. And likely she's nursing, which she's losing water and incredibly thirsty. It doesn't say anything in this, but she probably has not eaten at all. So, you know, there's that. And there's just a lot of things going on in this story. And then the last thing is when she says on the phone to whoever wrote this little thing, "Did you hear what I told you? Did you hear what I told you? Like, are you hearing me? This is horrible." And that is the key to this statement. That's the key to this whole podcast, this whole episode, is that it is reassuring to providers that you're scared of these thoughts, that you have anxiety around these thoughts, that you know that these thoughts are not okay. They're not actionable items. The fact that you're afraid of the nature of the thoughts is what makes it okay that you're experiencing them in terms of the safety of your child, the safety of yourself. It is the people that have a delusion, which is believing the event is happening, like they have to do something to their child, or doing something to their child is a good thing. That is the scary part of mental health. Now, if I'm really being honest, I'm not someone that's an expert in intrusive thoughts, in postpartum psychosis, and postpartum mental health. So if you are having these thoughts a lot, or even if you're not and they're just a random thought that you're having and they really do bother you, by all means, go reach out to someone. But I want to give you some assurance that it is normal for these to occur, and there's specific reasons for why intrusive thoughts happen in postpartum. And I did a ton of research on this, and so I have these articles cited in my show notes. And if you want more resources to know what intrusive thoughts are, then come find me on Instagram at Dr. Caitlin Galloway. So I wanted to go through what are intrusive thoughts that happen, you know? What are some things that can happen? It's like you think, oh, I have this pillow here. I could cover the baby up, and how long would it take? Or I press hard on this soft spot on this head. What if it crushed the skull? And I remember having those thoughts. Like, it's just crazy to think all of this, but like, it does happen. It's crazy. And what if I throw the baby? Like, I live on the fifth floor, and I would sit on the couch right next to the window, and I would think, like, oh my god, he could totally fall. If I opened this window, if I dropped him, he would just fall 5 stories. And like, all the things that you think of in those moments of like, how fragile this human is. How fragile, how easy would it be for this child to disappear, be done with? So those are the kinds of things I'm thinking of, like things like where you're driving and you're like, oh, all I'd have to do is drive down that hill and it'd be over, you know, like those little moments where you're not acting on them, you don't believe them, you don't think you're actually going to do them, but the idea of you thinking about them, you're like, how the heck did that come into my mind? How did that come into my mind? How did I think of that? Why am I thinking that? I love this child. I love this child. I love being a mom. I love all the things that I'm doing. This is hard. This is really hard, but I love this child, and I want to know this child more, and I'm watching them grow, and I'm learning so much, and I just want to keep going. But what am I doing? What is my brain doing? And there's many reasons why this happens. Number one, intrusive thoughts are happening a lot in people that do not get adequate sleep. It is very difficult for you to block out those types of thoughts when you do not get adequate sleep. It's actually, I saw a research study is that those types of the coping strategies that your brain automatically uses to stop you from hearing those thoughts before you actually like think them in your conscious brain, the thought, the way your body would censor those thoughts is not able to actually compute. It's not able to come online because you're not sleeping. So then the lack of sleep is super important, which is why it's really important to find a routine and a system for helping you get sleep, even if it is in divided chunks, even if it is in sacrifice of you getting the dishes done right now, or it's the sacrifice of you having an extra pair of clothes in your closet, like whatever it is, the sleep is your priority, and you can find the little gaps in time where you can get some chores done for your basic hygienic needs. But it is vital that you focus on sleep. The second thing is that a lot of people, in terms of this, is that the reason a lot of women have this is that they have no sense of self after a few weeks of postpartum, especially in the weeks 2 to 4, is when it seems to be the most intense. Weeks 1 and 2, you're kind of like, this is how it is, and the baby starts to, like, every week get more awake, more developmental milestones occur, sleep patterns change, and there's changes all the time. Everything is changing all the time, and you keep trying to find a rhythm, and you don't find a rhythm, and so that gets exhausting, and you don't know when you're gonna ever fit back you, and your body's healing, it doesn't look like you, it doesn't feel like you, you don't have the energy you used to have because you're tired, and so it is really important that you find the time to get sleep, even in divided doses, but also to have time alone. And that means time to shower, time to eat appropriate foods, specifically high proteins, to drink enough water, to get all of the nutrients you need, including fat, carbs, protein, food, and food that is both for the soul and food for the fact that you're nourishing another human, or if you aren't nursing, you are still repairing a body that built a human. So there are a lot of things that your body needs to do. The third thing that really does help women in this area, according to the research that I've done, is self-forgiveness, working on being able to forgive yourself for having those thoughts because you're under a high amounts of stress that you've literally never experienced before. You've never experienced having to keep a child alive before. This is your first child. You've never been the last person in the room, the last person available to someone, and especially someone so weak, so fragile, so just a human being that is incredibly useless. A baby is incredibly useless. They're just a burden at that point, and it's a beautiful burden, and you're happy and you love this child, and you don't want anything to happen with them, and you're so afraid you're going to do something wrong. But it is taking away that sense of autonomy, and so you have to learn to forgive yourself in that moment of like, it's okay that I'm having these thoughts that are not okay. It's okay. And then the other thing is a mindfulness exercise. So this one study I looked at how to train your brain into not allowing yourself to think those kinds of thoughts, or not necessarily not allow your, using mindfulness to train your brain to focus away from the thoughts that you don't want to focus on. You know, for example, I think a very good childhood example is when you say to someone, don't think of penguins, and all you can think of is penguins. I think the phrase is, don't think of pink penguins or something like that, and that's all you can think about. Well, in this practice, it's actually, they used the Headspace app, so it was, you know, I was slightly biased, I guess you could call that a slightly biased article, in that the app that was used for mindfulness was donated through Headspace, and it, personally, I love Headspace. It's an incredible mindfulness act, but the trainings that they put these people through allowed them to have that controlled focus and attention on things like their breath or a feeling in their body, or focusing on counting their breath or counting certain things, or having visualization techniques, and using those methods to help you get into that state, that that state of or relaxation, that state of feeling like you could be in control, and knowing that in control of your focus, so that you're able to just identify a thought for what it is. And it's just a thought. It's not a, it doesn't mean anything about you. You can have thoughts in your brain that you choose not to believe. And believe me, when you don't have sleep, this is the best thing you could do for yourself. And then lastly, so if you're really trying to if you're really trying to learn how to do mindfulness, I would highly recommend downloading the Headspace app and doing some form of meditation, whatever one looks like fun to you. They're very similar. They're all very similar. But definitely try to look at them and see if it's something that you're interested in. I think it's like $60 for the whole year. It's not anything really crazy intensive to have to purchase. And then last but not least, I've talked about this many, many times before, and I've gotten this method from Corinne Crabtree, and it's called the 4 N's. And the first thing is notice a thought. So noticing it, you're probably going to really quickly notice these thoughts come up and be like, oh my God, I'm so horrible. I think the first thing you have to do is normalize it and know, and that's why I'm doing this podcast today, is that you have to normalize it. You have to say, I am a new mom. It is common to think things that are not actually true that I'm not actually going to do. It is normal to not think clearly when I do not have adequate sleep. It is normal to feel isolated, alone, and want to have, like, my brain's automatic instinct is to get rid of the obstacle. Like, my brain's automatically going to start thinking of ways to get rid of the obstacle to get to my own health. When I don't have access to food, when I don't have access to water, because I'm too busy trying to focus on a child that doesn't actually know how to communicate with me. That my innate brain that wants me to stay alive is going to try to come up with any crazy reason to figure out how to get me to have more food or figure out how to get me to feel relief. And it doesn't mean I'm going to act on them. And in fact, if I think I'm going to act on them, then it's time to go get help. If I'm afraid of these, if I can't keep moving past them, if they affect my daily life, if they keep happening, if they're not something that's a common thing, if there's something that's a common thing, or if I have it once and I'm freaking out about it, I'm going to go talk to someone about it. I'm going to talk to someone about it. And it's okay to not feel okay about these thoughts. And in fact, like I said, I think the exact quote from Iris, and I have this on one of my things there, is like, it's true that the clinical significance is the level of suffering rather than the content itself. And what this means is that when you're going to a physician, what really should happen is that they should focus on the fact that you're anxious and upset that these thoughts are occurring. Not necessarily that the thoughts themselves mean that you're a bad mom, you're doing something wrong, or that you're going to act out on them. And in fact, it is the remorse, it is this is another quote, this distress, you being anxious, this distress provides reassurance that these thoughts are anxiety-driven and not psychotic. In fact, your anxiety is an indication that you are aware of the difference between right and wrong. We know that it can make you feel like you're going crazy, but you are not. Simply put, your worry about these thoughts is a very good sign. This is a quote from an article that I have, that same article, The Blenders, Hammers, and Knives, Postpartum Intrusive Thoughts, and Unthinkable Motherhood. And that article is fantastic. I'm going to link it below because it is free to the public. It just talks about how, like, we think that, especially in American culture, I can't speak for any other cultures, that moms are supposed to be this perfect people, that we're never supposed to have faults, that we're automatically, innately supposed to know exactly what to do in every situation as a mom. And the reality is, we've no training in that. Like, heck, I had to really dive down and find out how to meal plan and cook and clean and do laundry. And that literally was before I had a child. Figuring out how to do that just for me on my own was hard. And then you get a child and you're expected to know when to change the diapers, how many diapers is accurate, how often should I nurse, am I feeding them enough, are they getting enough milk, are they growing, are they are they pooping enough, do they have enough milk, should I give them water, no, don't give them water, should I give them Pedialyte, did they get enough nursing, like all these things. And I feel like constantly, every single day, your thought patterns are always like, is that normal, should I be concerned? And y'all, I'm not even kidding. I thought these thoughts, and I was in my fourth year of medical school. I was about to graduate. I had taken lactation courses. I had neurodevelopment courses in undergraduate, in my graduate degree, in all kinds of different ways. I knew about neurodevelopment. I knew about all of the things that happen in the human brain. And I still felt like every single day I was thinking and considering, like, is that normal? Is that normal? Is that something I should be worried about? Am I feeling at that? How do I do this? What do I do? How do I do this? Is that right? Should I be concerned? Do I call the doctor? Do I call 911? Do I go to the hospital? Do I not? What do I do? Every single day. So that kind of stress requires you to have some sort of sympathy for yourself when you don't think clearly, when you don't have the right mindset for 3 seconds, and you start to have these crazy thoughts that are so freaking scary. And I'm not going to lie to you, I am really scared about having this podcast, about reading that story, about making this a thing, because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. But y'all, these things happen. These thoughts are going to likely happen. Statistically, they're going to happen. And I want you to know beforehand, or even during, that they're not a normal thing. Like, it's not normal to have that thought, but it is common. It is a correlation that happens with postpartum. It is not something that, like, is morally wrong with you, or that you're failing because you're having these thoughts. And I want it to be an open dialogue. I want you to get the help that you need. If you're having these symptoms, you can talk them out. You can talk to someone and feel solid. The one warning I would get is that when I looked at the research studies, it does give some sort of research, is that white women, when given these reports that they are having these thoughts, that they're especially specifically violent ones, including weapons, knives, anything of that nature, women of, like, white women are generally given more grace than those of minorities. Specifically, African American and Latino females are not given as much grace in terms of their ability to be mothers. And they're judged more on the content than on the suffering that they're experiencing. So I want to give this as a warning, because those that are not white, which is probably a far majority of the population, I don't want you to think that you shouldn't take precaution and know exactly who you should talk to. So I am so happy that we've had this discussion. I'm going to post articles that are amazing, or resources, in the show notes if you're interested. If you ever need to talk to someone, go ahead and message me at Dr. Kaylin Galloway on Instagram. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I really hope you learned something and grew during this episode. If you could leave me a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be so helpful for me. If you have any questions, email me at admin@thenewmomnaturopath.com.